This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
You're listening to The Morning Run with Lynn and Shaoning. It's 7:17 a.m. Thursday, the 18th of June, and in about half an hour, we're speaking about EPF and how it is managing its portfolio in light of the COVID-19 pandemic, with insights from CEO Tunku Ali Zakri alias. But in the meantime, we're talking about the wedding industry, because altars are left empty, champagnes are unpopped, as matrimonial events were cancelled due to the pandemic. The bans and restrictions against mass gatherings led to couples either postponing or abandoning their wedding plans altogether, which of course led to numerous issues like loss of income for industry players and consumers not being able to get back their deposits.
Well, there have been appeals by the industry to the government to allow wedding services and wedding operators to resume operations by permitting weddings that follow SOPs such as physical distancing and limiting the number of guests.
So for some deeper insight into this industry, we have on the line with us Letitia Su, President of the Association of Wedding Professionals. Thanks very much for joining us this morning, Letitia. Can you hear us?
Yes, good morning.
Good morning. So before we begin, first of all, can you tell us how big exactly is the wedding industry as a whole? So could you give us a bit of a breakdown?
Well, okay, I'm quoting the Department of Statistics that reported that in 2018, we had about 206,000 weddings in that year. So to give you an idea, weddings cost between, let's say, 50,000 ringgit to 100,000 ringgit on the average. So we take the lower estimate of 50,000 ringgit and multiply that by 206,000 weddings in 1 year. The wedding industry is a 10.3 billion ringgit industry on a bad day. So then you take an average of 50 people who work directly involved with any wedding, multiply that by 206,000 weddings in a year. That's 10.3 million jobs in a year. So you can imagine what we were doing during the MCO for the past 3 months, our aches and pains.
So beyond cancellations, can you elaborate more on how the pandemic and the MCO has affected the wedding industries? Is it basically, you know, all the job losses? Are we going to see that?
Well, you have people who are, well, couples are worried and they are getting a bit hopeless. So yes, a lot of couples that are cancelling or postponing their weddings. So, but people still want to get married. So as an association, we have couples writing to us and asking us whether we know what's happening, whether we can put a bit of pressure to get the SOPs in place, because we feel for the couples. We are in love with weddings and couples still want to get married. So there is still business out there for us and for jobs. It's just that no one can know when we can do anything.
So how has the industry managed with mass cancellations so far? Have customers been able to get a refund?
Industry players who have strong contracts and terms in place are following the contract laws in terms of refund, because some of weddings have been booked a year in advance, so there are opportunity costs involved. For other vendors, we encourage postponement rather than cancellation. Couples still need to get married. It's just a matter of when. Then if all else fails, refund is on the plate, then they can mutually agreed payment terms between the couple and the vendor.
Now, as the economy is opening up and we are, you know, in this RMCO phase, do you see people resuming cancelled events or weddings? And I'm just curious, also because the economy is not so good, do you also expect couples to actually cut down their original budget? Hello, Letitia.
Yes. Sorry, can you repeat the question again?
No, the question is, right, you know, the economy is opening up again. So do you see people resuming cancelled events or weddings? And even then, because the economy may not be so good, do you see couples actually cutting down the budgets that they typically spend on weddings?
Weddings will definitely pick up again because a lot of couples, like I say, are just waiting to get married. What will most likely happen is the number of weddings per guests per weddings will cut down. So we see a more intimate style weddings. Couples that have a bit more funds, they will still place a bit more luxury per guest, but it will still be more smaller intimate weddings. So you're looking at more destination weddings or weddings in out-of-box venues where people can still show off in a different way, but in a smaller guest list.
So perhaps what are some of the specific SOPs that your association has suggested to the National Security Council?
Well, as a joint effort between various wedding associations that represent multiracial wedding community, SOPs were submitted to the Ministry of Economic Affairs, to MKN, to Health Ministry, to even the Senior Minister, Ismail Sabri. And some of the SOPs that we did was not only about the reception, but also about gown fittings, about all the other avenues in weddings, from sanitization stations, from 50% capacity, contact tracing, having information posters. We even suggested that family photos will be taken with social distancing. It's sad, but at least we can all still stay safe and weddings can still go on.
Have you heard back from the ministry? Do you know whether they are considering your proposals?
Well, we've submitted it, but we've not heard anything. We are hopeful that we can get some answers for next week, hopefully. But right now, nothing official.
So with this new norm in place, do you think we'll see the rise of something like virtual weddings? I mean, I think this was on the front page of the New Straits Times this morning, a wedding tea ceremony that was held via Zoom link. And so do you see this becoming more of an accepted practice? And if so, how do wedding professionals come into this?
Well, virtual weddings are certainly feasible. Whether or not it will take forth again after the SOP has been in place, it's doubtful because a lot of people still, you can't hug and kiss your cousin over the laptop. So people will still want to have physical weddings, but virtual weddings can still work. So how virtual weddings work is this. People get the wrong idea that having a virtual wedding is not legal in eyes of law and eyes of God. But virtual weddings are because previously there have been virtual weddings happening during the MCO when you have 10 people or 20 people that are allowed in one room. So you have got your registrar there, or your qadi there, or your priest there, and the couple is there. So the physically present is your couple and the priest, who then solemnizes your wedding and you get married. Who are not there are the guests. So the guests then stream in online to their whole wedding. So you can get your best bud from Canada streaming in, and she's still in her shorts in her living room in Canada. So virtual weddings can work. You still have the photographer, you still have the beautiful flowers, you still have the setup. It's just a number of people that are physically present at that one place has been dropped. That's all. So going forth, having streaming in virtual weddings still can happen. And for couples, you see, previously before the MCO, couples have been going to wedding fairs, they go to the hotel wedding fairs, to mid-valley wedding fairs. They still have. So what vendors have done is, early July, Weddings Malaysia is doing a virtual wedding fair where vendors will sell off their best bargains. I hear there's even a $200 wedding gown for sale. I've been married 10 years, but likely I'll go and check out the $200 wedding gown. $200, you're right. So there is a platform where couples can go and see vendors, they can see performances, see workshops, get the best deals, because right now there's bits and pieces of bargains around. So there's one area that you can have all these bargains and vendors can sell their wares. Couples can go and visit everything. So things can go on a virtual platform. So Malaysians are just getting educated to become virtual. And I mean, it's moving to the new future.
Yeah, it's very encouraging to hear that everybody evolves in the new normal. But I'm just also curious, has any of the economic stimulus packages directly or indirectly helped players like y'all within the wedding industry?
Now, that one is a very interesting question. So yes and no. The stimulus package, ERP, WSP, the micro SME grants helped us a bit. But not everyone's eligible and the funds really doesn't cover any overheads. Okay. Then you take the micro SME BSN loan. It was a godsend until you actually apply for it. Now, half the wedding industry did not get approved because for the longest time, weddings and events are considered high risk. Now, I know dealing with bridezillas are high risk. But we all go home in one piece every night. So I don't understand why banks think that we are so scary. And it is a 10.3 billion ringgit industry. So weddings are the most important event in anyone's life. But apparently, wedding vendors are not so important. Now, then the other half of the industry, like myself, was told that BSN has reached their fund allocation. So right now, we're just left out in the dark.
So what kind of initiatives then do you think are needed in order to help support the wedding industry and as the COVID-19 pandemic still continues?
Well, first and foremost, in order to survive, we need financial aid to sustain. We have a wedding vendor who already has 52 weddings confirmed for next year. That's one wedding a week on the average. But the question is, what do we do until next year? How do we pay our overheads? How do we sustain our staff? How do we eat? So if more commercial bank loans at attractive interest rates can offer to us so-called high-risk wedding vendors, then at least we can ride the wave. It's not that we don't want to work for our money, and it's not that we don't just want to sit here and just be fed, but we can't survive if we move on like this. Then there's also the wedding tourism. Yes, right now no one can fly, no one can do anything, but we have to look to the future. So wedding tourism in itself is a big market. We have beautiful beaches in Penang. We have great rainforests. We could share with the world through, and through the past 10 years, AWP has been around. We have tried to advocate to Tourism Malaysia the benefits of wedding tourism, but it has fallen to deaf ears. Help us help Malaysia build a wedding tourism by promoting our locations for weddings, by making the registration process easier for foreigners with less red tape. Because countries like Thailand and Indonesia are one of the key wedding destinations, so why can't Malaysia be on top of everyone's minds? And then when we brought an idea to MYCEB to host a international bridal summit on a global scale to share Malaysia with tour agents, global wedding vendors and industry, again, we didn't get any support and no one saw the purpose or benefit of it. So rather than just sitting down and doing nothing, the associations that I mentioned earlier, AWP, WPAM, PWPA, AWIM, we are preparing a press conference and an MOU signing, a sign of solidarity. A union of sorts between all the multiracial associations to work together to elevate our industry in the eyes of government so that people take away the scary notion that we are high risk and to remind couples that we actually have internationally acclaimed vendors right here in Malaysia so they don't have to fly in their photographer from overseas and try to help control price wars. So with all this, we're trying to do something. Again, we're just not sitting down and just waiting to be fed. We're just trying to do something right about it.
Thank you very much for speaking with us this morning, Leticia. And that was Leticia Su, President of the Association of Wedding Professionals, with a very interesting look into the state of the wedding industry as it stands right now. We are about to head into the 7:30 news bulletin. And then up next, we're speaking with Dr. Hu Chiu-ping, Senior Lecturer at UKM, on the recent flare-ups between North and South Korea. So stay tuned to BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.